Digital Logic, PC Gaming Podcast, Robert Digital, Ender's Logic.
Hey now! That's today. What? I told you I'm going to switch it up every week.
Oh, that's
what's
right.
Wrong
that's
with
right.
Hey now? Words. Hey now.
Hey now. That's you got some baritone there, a little bit of bass. Yeah. I don't know. I think I like that better than last week's.
What was last week? It was Boom Goes the Dynamite? Is that what I went?
No, you said you were going to try that one.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I don't remember what last week's was.
But it wasn't as good as Hey Now.
No.
That's Howard Stern. So it's not like it's original, but it's a good catchphrase. I mean, it's lasted him many, many a year.
Yep. So let's just copy it.
Yeah, fuck it, right?
Yeah. Let's pirate it, not to give too much away.
Ooh.
Piracy.
Nobody knows that that's a subject.
So we got a bit of a new venue here. A bit of a new, different change in atmosphere.
Yeah, we're over at my place. It's a little less echoey, but also 100% less clean. So, yeah, well, you have different challenges here than you do at your place.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You would think that those Mexican cleaning habits would really show, but...
No, you know what? That's first generation. Anybody who comes here from Mexico, super hard worker. Second generation, third generation, like me.
It's like a recessive trait, and you didn't get
the... Exactly.
Okay.
My children might be cleaners, but I doubt it.
Yeah, well, you know, if you mate with a... another Mexican, you know, you might. How does that work? Heterozygous.
How do I mate with another Mexican? If I look at them hard enough, they get pregnant. That's how it works. Why do you think there's a billion of us, man? Just look at them.
There's a billion of you because we live in San Diego.
That's true.
Which, if you saw Anchorman, you know, according to Wes Mantooth, is the best damn city there is.
And speaking of which, I mean, if you guys haven't seen Anchorman 2, it's fucking fantastic. And, you know, he gets into his radio voice by doing the crazy warm-ups that he does. It's like, where is it? The bishop wore buttless chaps to the bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah. That's what I did right before this episode. I think Bobby did the other one.
That's a good warm-up. Andre the Giant.
Yeah, Andre the Giant gave a surprisingly nimble foot rub. Foot rub.
Foot rub.
Foot rub.
Foot rub.
You wonder why we have such great voices, and that's why. Anchorman 2 is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's you just copy the warm-up. All right. Well, this isn't a podcast about Anchorman, although it does sound tempting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but, well, you know, it could be, because we're about to talk about some news here, some current news. We're going to hit a few topics here.
Nice segue.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't perfect.
I mean, if you hadn't drawn attention to it and ruined it, it would have been flawless.
It took me a couple seconds. I've been drinking today, so.
Been drinking. That's always good. All right. So, AMD Mantle is delayed. Is it me or is everything getting delayed? Like, everything delayed?
I don't know, man. It's one of these things where, like, as soon as somebody did it, it's like, I guess we can do it too. They don't have, the only people they're beholden to is their shareholders, I imagine. So, you know what? I would rather wait and get a good product than get a shitty product that needs to be patched and reworked several times over. Maybe don't work on your delays. Maybe work on your release dates. Maybe that's the one thing.
Well, they're blaming, they're blaming the delay on Battlefield 4 developer DICE. And Battlefield 4 has had its share of problems. Last week we talked about how it was getting banned in China. And then aside from that, it's just had technical problems, bugs and issues with just running smoothly in the net code. And I'm not surprised this has been delayed. I was really looking forward to it. It's been delayed till January, so we won't have to wait too long. I mean, it is January.
I mean, we talked about it. I think it was our first episode. They're promising so much that I'm willing to wait. Plus, it's not one of these things where you're going to be like, oh, my God, my computer doesn't work without Mantle or whatever the fuck. Like, when it does show up, if it even doubles your processing rate, or your overall ability to play games or anything like what they're promising, even like a fourth of what they're promising, hell, more power to them. Take your time, give me a good product.
Yeah, I would much rather have the end product be something that was worth all the time rather than something that just comes out and is buggy as hell. And if you don't know what AMD Mantle is, it's a new API that just allows for significant performance gains from AMD cards. So promising, we'll see what happens. I mean, we won't have to wait too much longer. January, a couple more weeks. We'll see what happens. I can't wait to see the benchmarks on that, though.
Like I said, if it's even a fraction of what they promise, then it's amazing.
So next up in news, we've got Kotaku, or I'm not sure who the source is on this, but they have the Mod of the Year countdown. They have the top 10. I have not played a lot of mods. Looking at this list, I recognize some. I haven't played any of them, I think.
He's, you know, he calls himself a PC gamer, and he doesn't do any modding at all. You know, every week I try to bring up my Skyrim modding because, you know.
You know what?
Oh, by the way, take a shot. Those playing the
Skyrim shot.
Skyrim shot. Heyo.
You know what, though? I have actually made mods in the past. I've made levels and skins for Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2. I'll have to dig those up one day. I made a level based on a book, based on 1984, the book by George Orwell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Real nerdy there. Getting real nerdy.
That's pretty cool. And Orwell is all over the place now. You hear his name every day almost in the news.
Now, I feel like modding is something that people do with games when they are just in love with one game. Like, they're just all about this game. They're trying to do as much as they can with this title. And right now I'm in a phase where I'm just playing a lot of different stuff. I'm not getting too deep into one specific game. Just kind of bouncing around, sampling a lot of things. So, yeah, I haven't had a chance to play any of these mods. Number one on the list was Just Cause 2 multiplayer.
Now, you might think this is ridiculous because Just Cause 2 was not a huge title. It wasn't a big release. People weren't wowed by it. But the thing about Just Cause 2 is the physics. The physics engine is, I wouldn't say amazing or anything like that, but a lot of fun can be had in that physics engine. The whole thing where, you know, I haven't played the multiplayer, but let me give you a little story of what the physics allowed me to do. Very early in the game, I was on the back of a car. It was like a little Volkswagen, and we're being chased by Humvees, and I had a pistol or something similarly stupid. And I died about three or four times before I realized, wow, how am I going to get through this? There's like 20, 40 Humvees, and there's nothing I can do. Then I realized that the grappling hook you can use twice. Not only can you grapple something, but you can attach the receiving end to something else. So all you do is you grapple one of the Humvees and then grapple it to the ground, and it goes flying in a really ridiculous, stupid manner. But as far as the physics go, it looks realistic. Like, the thing bounces off the ground and flies the way you would imagine it would had you done that in real life. And the more I played this game, the more, like, you got to think outside of the box. Because when you fighting a helicopter, you don't shoot it from afar like you do in regular games. You grapple hook it, and then you grapple hook it to the wall, and then it crashes because it can't sustain its balance. So if you're dealing with like 40 or 60 people doing the same thing with all these grappling hooks doing all kinds of crazy shit, I'd imagine it's just chaos and fun.
Like, so that's all this mod does, is make Just Cause 2 a multiplayer experience.
In my knowledge. And, you know, that's what it's called. It's called Just Cause 2 multiplayer. So I think that's what it does. I think I'm going to download it this week. I mean, I already have Just Cause 2. Why wouldn't I get this mod?
Wow. Yeah, if it's number one, there's got to be something to it. And this supports my hypothesis that every game is better with multiplayer.
Yeah.
I think that I stand by that. I think people have a social need, and I think that any game is better when you can play with or against people.
Absolutely.
I mean, something
because AI is nice, but, you know, nothing beats human intelligence. And the ego boost you get from beating another human, I think, is the other thing.
Yeah. Other notable things on the list, second place was No More Room in Hell. And while I haven't played that game, I am aware of it, and I have heard lots of good stuff about it.
Now, that's the Source Engine survival horror, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so that, out of all the ones that I see here, that's probably the one that I would check out.
Worm's Tooth, I'm definitely going to play, and that's for obviously Skyrim mod. Take a shot. Take a shot. Take a Skyrim shot. God damn it. Yeah, this is, I believe it takes place after you beat the game, and it's more things that you can do afterwards. I saw a review on it, and I know it's like at least 2 hours of content, which is great, you know? It's a quest mod. It has its own unique dungeons and things to do, and eventually I'll get into it. I'll sink my worm's tooth into it. Anyone? Anyone?
Oh, my God. All right. Moving on. In other news, Gaming Network's crash during Christmas Day. I experienced this firsthand with Steam. Steam was down for, God, at least 4 hours.
It's because he buys a game every 3 to 4 hours, folks.
Well, I check Steam at least every 4 hours because I want to see what the flash sale is, or every 6 hours. I want to vote on it, too. Like, I'm checking Steam constantly. And I guess a lot of people had gift cards or money for Christmas, and they just flooded not only Steam, but also Sony Online, Microsoft Xbox Live, their store, Nintendo's eShop. Apparently Nintendo has an eShop.
Who knew, right? This is literally the first time I've ever heard the name of Nintendo's online purchasing store.
Well, who knew and who cared?
Yeah, right.
But, these platforms got flooded just with people buying up games. I think this shows that PC gaming, well, maybe not PC gaming, gaming in general is just huge. PC gaming, part of that
is even bigger than the contributors themselves, you know? Like, they weren't prepared for the flood that they were going to get. Now, the other side of this is you have to think of, maybe they did some quick math or some long math where they were like, okay, if X, the amount of money we would lose if we go over divided by B, which is how much buying a bunch of new servers to cover the extra traffic would be, doesn't equal C, then we don't do a recall.
Yeah. Well, it's basic risk management. You do not want to have downtime, especially when you have a big sale and you're making money. Any sort of downtime is really, really bad for business. So this was not good for them.
But like I said, are they losing more money than they would have invested in their
servers?
Infrastructure?
I think so. I think.
And it's not like they're not going to need that shit next year, too.
Well, who knows what the technical problem was?
Yeah.
I mean, it might not have been that they had enough servers.
Yeah, server-wide. So maybe just everybody got back down. Maybe the entire internet was just flooded with all kinds of shit that day.
Well, I think there's two big points to be made here. Number one, the gaming industry is alive and well, booming, bigger than ever. And number two, digital distribution is the preferred method of getting games now. People aren't buying, like Walmart isn't running out of games on their shelves. Servers are crashing because too many people are buying them online.
Yeah.
Which is like the digital equivalent of that.
You know, fuck having a physical copy, man. If I had a physical copy of any game, let me think. The last game was probably the EA game where you do evolution of your character on a race on a planet, and then you can mold it.
Talking about Spore?
Spore, yep. That was probably the last physical copy game I ever bought.
Wow.
And that thing scratched to hell somewhere at the bottom of, you know, the abyss. Who knows where it's at? But then they started Origin, and I had already registered my copy of Spore. So I wanted to play again, and I was able to go online, even though I had originally bought I couldn't play that copy or something like that until you activate it on the EA servers, and now they have a permanent record of me owning that game.
Yeah, that's nice.
Way better. I mean, here, as if it wasn't good enough where you could, it's not going to get damaged, you're not going to lose it. You can go to somebody else's computer where they don't even have any games on their computer. You're stuck there for a week or whatever, Christmas or whatever the fuck it is, and you're bored. You could just, bring up your account, download your game, and play it remotely.
Yeah, and there's less clutter. I mean, do you remember when people had, like, CDs for music, and they would have these giant CD racks you could buy at, like, a music store?
What do you mean used to? Thousands of CDs. Are you saying they're outdated?
Yes, they are. Optical media is dead. Physical media might even be dying. But, yeah, digital distribution is the way to go. I had a similar experience with Warcraft, Frozen Throne and Reign of Chaos. I had physical copies of those games, and I must have registered them somehow in the past with Blizzard, because now if I go to my account, it says you own, you know, World of Warcraft, whatever the latest one is, but your account isn't active. You own StarCraft 2, and you've got these old games, Reign of Chaos and Frozen Throne, and I can download those and then install them on my computer anytime I want. And
it's got time I play Hearthstone, I see these all these other games that I don't play that I own from that company, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's just the way to go. We might talk about distribution more in depth at a later point. Maybe that could sustain a random topic. I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. So speaking of random topics, let's get into our random topic.
Piracy, huh?
Piracy.
Gigantic. There's the $500 gorilla in the room, you know?
Yeah.
It's huge. How are you going to deal with it? You're making a game. You want to get your game out. You want to make profitable, yet everybody downloads games. Every game at its root is digital. It is code, so it can be copied and traded at will. You know, sometimes there's a couple of extra steps that you have to take in order to play it, but, you know, for a long, long time, I was, pirating all the AAA titles that would come out. Crysis, you know, was super high up there. It's like, okay, here's a game where I want to play it, but I wouldn't pay for it. If I have to pay for this game, I wouldn't. If it was a couple of bucks, I might pay for it. But there's not this huge draw that to want to play it, you know? So I pirated it and I played it. A lot of people try to say that, I pirate first, try it out, and then I buy it. But I think there's not very much of that going on at all.
I don't know. I don't know. Because I think there's a good amount of people who do sample games by pirating them, and then eventually they do buy it. But I think the thing that we're seeing here is there's been a shift in the way that goods are consumed. We've seen this with music, and we've seen it with movies, and now we're seeing it with games. People do not want a product. They want a service. When you buy a game on Steam, you're paying for... you're paying for convenience.
What's this Steam you talk about?
Steam. I don't know. Listeners should take a shot every time we mention Steam.
Yeah. It would take half a shot because
I don't know what we talk about more here, Steam or Skyrim.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to avoid Steam in when you're talking about PC gaming. I mean, they're the biggest player out there. But you see in Steam how you're paying for a service.
It's convenience. Ultimately, for me, it comes down to convenience.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have $5 to spend, I understand, go pirate the game. If you have $5 and you can get a game for $5 and you can get it on demand and you can get it with all the support, why wouldn't you go that route? You know, you get these pirated games, there's almost inevitably some sort of big problem with it, and you can't play it the way that you want to play it. You know, it crashes here, it crashes there, you can't get the DLC. Everything's like 3 or 4 extra steps.
Yeah.
It's much easier to get, you know, it's not like, this is a double shot, ready? It's not like getting a Skyrim on Steam, right? Where you can get the mods and all that stuff. You can't get any of the mods. I mean, you can, but it's not nearly as easy as it is with a cracked copy. Take 2 shots, fuckers.
2 shots. Yeah. With Steam, you're getting a lot. When you buy a game on Steam, you're getting that put into your library, which you can always access on any computer.
You're getting it quickly.
You're getting it relatively quickly. They store your screenshots, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but to me it is. I love my screenshots. And a lot of them also have cloud storage for saved games and also control settings. So if you've changed the duck key in Left 4 Dead 2 and you don't have to change it every time you install Left 4 Dead 2, then it will remember that setting.
Well, I mean, settings is fine. It takes you 10 minutes. But what about your saves? I mean,
saves are huge.
Yeah, it saves your saves, which is amazing. Like, I talked about it two episodes ago where I broke my Skyrim, right? And I had to wipe it completely, take a shot. And I re-downloaded it. And guess what? It doesn't matter that I wiped the game entirely from my computer. Though that my saves are there, and I could just pick up exactly where I was when I was, you know, looking at naked girls. And
so this is an example of something that you would lose if you were to pirate a game. If you were to pirate a game, there's zero cost, but you're putting in more work on your part. And, you know, that's the ultimate trade-off. Convenience for money. I mean, I'm willing to pay for convenience.
And really, when it comes out to it, it's ultimate convenience, because not only are we talking about the original download, you're talking about all kinds of support. You're talking about forums. You're talking about a bunch of things that go along with buying into the company or buying into the community. A lot of times you can't get into that stuff unless you have an account with that company. So, you know, all of that. It comes at, I ranted on this earlier, a long time ago, where if there was a Steam for movies, I would stop pirating movies. I'm almost certain. And you know what? Like, the majority of the people in my life look at torrenting and they're like, oh, I'll just let immediately do it. I'll just give him a thumb drive and he'll get all the movies that I want for me, because they don't want, it's a little too complicated and it's not convenient. So if you had something, Netflix, that had every movie on it, who would stray from that? You know, they would get supremely, they would have everybody on there. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think gaming, you get a more unified experience, because almost every single title is on Steam. Sure, I got to go to Origin for a few of them. I also get some stuff from Good Old Games or GOG.com. And Green Man Gaming, but usually when I buy on Green Man Gaming, I activate on Steam.
Right.
So there's other sources I'll get my games from, and also Blizzard has their own private store as well. But I used to pirate a lot of games when I didn't have money, and I don't blame people, younger people who don't have money, for when they pirate games,
because
I figure, hey, if you're going to risk getting a virus, if you're going to go through all those steps, if you're going to go through all that work just to get that game running so you can play it. Dude, then you paid for it in effort, you know. But now it's like, I got a job. I do my work at my job. When I come home, I'm done working, man. I want to relax. I want to play some games, and I want it easy and snappy. But here's the question. I think we can agree that piracy probably damages sales, but how badly does piracy affect sales? Do you think it's significant?
Absolutely significant. But obviously not company ending, right? They're still making games, and that's got to be a reason, because they're making profit, obviously. Things like Grand Theft Auto, well, obviously it's a little bit harder to pirate on consoles, but...
Yeah, but it can be done.
It can be done, for sure, but it's not like it is on PCs. But PC games still come out, and PC games are still profitable. This is a hurdle that they have to jump and consider. That whole DRM thing, when it came out, people were pissed, and it went by the wayside. You know, there's games like Hearthstone, right, where, like we were talking about, where I load up their app, I see all the games that I've owned from them, and I can play any one of those. But I think you have to have that app running if you're going to play one of the Blizzard games. And it's kind of like DRM, but it's just the app running, not you having to always be online. And I haven't had an issue with it yet. So far, I'm thinking that's probably the best way to do it. Where if you have a company like Blizzard, I mean, this would not work for an indie title where you had to be online every time that you played it. If you had an app that had a bunch of games, Steam-like, I guess. I wish everybody would just be on Steam. It's ridiculous. But that curbs piracy, I think, 100%, although I have seen There's certain hacks you can do to make a game look like it's on Steam or actually be on Steam without actually paying for it. Not that I've actually done any of these.
There's always a way around it. There's always a way around whatever defense.
If it's on a computer, hackers are involved. Hackers can do anything on a computer.
They'll find a way. But a lot of times it gets so complicated that even people like you or me wouldn't even go through all that work just to get a pirated copy. But I don't know. It's hard to say how badly. I'm sure there's some statistics on how badly sales are affected by piracy.
I think there's an analogy here. There's an analogy with whores versus girlfriends and piracy versus buying the game. Okay, so maybe not. But still.
Where are we going with this?
Okay, so there's a risk of viruses, right?
Okay.
Okay, so.
All right.
But I think that comes with, okay, more with buying a whore, right?
So you're saying prostitutes are more likely to have
STDs?
So in this analogy, the prostitute is pirating a game, and you're more likely to catch a virus.
Right, yep. But, see, pirating a game is free, so it doesn't really work. I want it to work so bad. I've been working on it in the back of my head.
Yeah.
But you know what? Girlfriends, you know, they were somebody else's girlfriend before they met you, so they can have viruses, too. More likely than not, the whore is less likely to have an STD. What do you think?
I can't speak to that. I don't know. I don't have that insider information.
Bullshit. Bullshit, Bobby.
I don't know, man. I think you need to work these analogies through before you go pitching them.
God damn it. If it would have worked, it would have been solid, though, man. If ever I wanted an analogy to work, it would have been that one.
Analogies are the worst thing ever.
Boo.
I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway, piracy.
Ultimately, it hurts the gaming community as a whole, I would say.
I would say so, but I think in some cases it might help it because it gets the game out there. It gets the game some notoriety. And, you know, when you talk about DRM, that stands for Digital Rights Management, and there's different forms of it. And in the past, we saw things such as having to have the CD in the computer while you play the game.
Yeah.
Do you remember games like that?
Yeah, and you know what? I just burned one and gave one to my roommate.
You could make copies.
As long as we were playing on LAN, it would still work.
Yeah, and there were ways around that. Then they started doing things like CD keys and registration keys. You had to register the game, and then we see things where you can only install the game so many times in a certain time period.
Yep.
Or like all sorts of stuff. And for the most part, a lot of these things have failed, and they've even come back to detract from the game, like in the case of SimCity, where they said, okay, we're going to make everything, or not everything, but a lot of stuff server-side, and you have to be online in order to play this game. And then, big surprise, when everyone started playing the game, the servers crashed, nobody could play, people were losing towns, it was a disaster. They were cool about it. They gave out free games because of that, which I thought was commendable. But it was a great example of how DRM just doesn't work sometimes. Because before this happened, they said they were going to do it. Everyone was like, no, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't do it. And they're like, nope, this is how it's going to be. And then it comes out, and it's a disaster. And everyone's like, we told you so, EA. So I don't think DRM is the answer. But the big question is, what is the answer? Like, how do you stop people?
Free to play, man. It's not the answer, it's an answer. If it wasn't for piracy and rapid piracy, we would have never saw, free to play. And so, which is a great model, you know?
Yeah.
It's come up, it's... If a free-to-play hadn't come out, we wouldn't have seen a lot of the games that we see now. And great games, by the way, with interesting ways of trying to get the money out of you. I spent probably $10 on Hearthstone this week. And the way I always figure it is, like, I'm having a blast. I'm enjoying the game so much. Am I enjoying it more than a AAA title? Like, no. Like, yes, I am. But for how much, how long? So far, I feel like I spent $10 on it. And when you think about a free-to-play game, oh my God, you spent $10 on a free-to-play game. I'm having more fun than most AAA titles, you know? Yeah. And so $10 is fine. I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm having a great time. I'm enjoying myself. If I pay $2, it's $2 to pay an arena match. If I pay $2 a day, fuck it. Why not? You know?
Yeah. No, that's a great model, and you bring up a good point. Like, I don't think there is one answer. There are many answers, and the free-to-play model is one of the great ways to circumvent piracy, because then it's free if you want it. If you want a different experience out of it, then you can pay, and it's a nominal charge. It's nothing big. They aren't asking for $60. Like, what do you? I think I've asked this before, but what do you think is an acceptable price range for a game? I mean, it depends on what you're getting, but
I've always said I think it comes out to how much they spent on it. You know, coming out with AAA graphics takes a lot of time and a lot of money. It's one of these things where you want to make sure you cover all your bases and be able to at least break even. If you break even, you know what? In these days, I really think breaking even is a success, because most games don't. And
it's a tough market.
Yeah, it's definitely. And I think that all has to do with piracy, honestly. If we didn't have piracy, it goes two ways. If we didn't have piracy, the game would probably be like $80 or $90 right now. They could charge whatever they wanted, you know. Half-Life 3 would probably be $80. The prices have had to stay at least neutral, because you can just go get it for free with a couple of extra steps. So,
and it should be mentioned that the people who develop these games, they work extremely hard, and they are deserving of the money.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel better about myself, and I can say this now that I'm a little older and I got some money to actually spend on stuff. Like, I feel better supporting the gaming community. It's supporting a game that I really like, or supporting developers and just making it possible for them to make more content and more games.
I've talked about this before. I mean, talk about Smite. I've spent $70 more than I would on a AAA title on a free-to-play game. I would say the at least 25%, the first money I ever spent, was literally so that I could support the developers. That was my thought. I was like, I'm going to buy this stuff because I want to support the developers, because I want this game to continue, because I really believe in it. And how great is that? You know your money is going directly to, it's not going to, you know, Best Buy at all, any of it. It's all going directly to the developers and the company. So at least you can put your money where your mouth is. And I could say this is a great game all day, but until I put money into it, you know, I'm actually supporting it, unlike some people that I know.
It's like a yeah, I haven't. You know what, though? I have taken them up on their affiliated marketing. So I've probably made a little bit of money for them doing those stupid surveys and installing that
That's true.
Stupid adware. Yeah. So I've made some gems doing
so
that.
So awesome how you did that, by the way. You did it on other people's computers.
Well, yeah. But computers I could wipe and then reimage. So it's not. Nobody's getting hurt here. Victimless crime. Victimless crime. Isn't that what this is all about? Piracy. Victimless crime. But, yeah, it's like a donation. It's like you almost want to give them the money anyway. And
right.
That you're getting a little something out of it.
Had they had a donate button, I probably would have. Yeah. Honestly, I probably would have.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference in age here, a difference of opinion when it comes to age. I think when I was younger, I know I didn't quite understand the way that the world works. You know, but when you get a little older and you're paying, you know, rent and you're paying bills and you're working a job, like, you understand that, you know, stuff isn't free. Stuff needs funding. All this stuff that you enjoy, whether it be a PC game or something on YouTube or on TV, like, that costs money to make. So, like, these people need to get this money from somewhere.
Absolutely. Let's get into we haven't done this in a long time, but our top three. We're going to do top five, but shit, top three. Top five is hard to think up, honestly, on any subject.
Yeah, five is just like.
We play so many games. You know, he has 700 games, folks.
Yeah.
700.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
Played all of them, too. Beat every single one of them.
Completionist. But so, that's a lie. That's a lie. It's a goddamn lie. What do you lie, liar?
You know what game I haven't beat? Skyrim. I seriously haven't beat
it. I've beat it like 3 or 4 times. Ha ha, I win.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to talk about our top three. And today's top three is going to be heroes, a really generic, broad subject.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe we have a fresh take or we have something you might not have thought about or whatever.
And it's our opinion. And I think people just can't get enough of our opinion.
Yeah. So
we're giving the people what they want.
Absolutely. I mean, okay, so I'm not going to do this for favoritism or anything, but besides PC gaming, I just want to say 9/11 Fireman is my number one for I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
So you're saying you hate 9/11 Fireman?
No. Nay. Don't be saying any of that.
This shit just got real. Okay. All right, so how about you start off here?
It's very simple. I mean, I'm going to go with a lot of generic stuff here because Gordon Freeman.
Oh, my God.
Right? Come on, man. Okay, so not because he was amazing. He doesn't even say shit, right? But it's one of the first times, if not the first time. Well, I guess there's been a couple games where nerds were the hero, but what is Gordon Freeman but an engineer that works at a top secret facility? You know, he doesn't have any special abilities at all. He's just really smart, and he happens to get a suit that helps him out to enact all his smartness, I guess. It's great. It's like almost like taking a PC gamer and putting him in a position. I think this is what was behind the whole choice of making him the protagonist, you know. It's like, this could be any one of you, you know. If you got this awesome suit, you would play this game exactly like that. You're not, see, I'm looking at you and you.
I'm waiting. Are you ready for my rebuttal?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, all right. I think that's a cop-out. Gordon Freeman. All right, you just go for one of the most popular PC games and take the main character from it. Gordon Freeman is transparent. He's not so much a character as a way of the player interacting with the game. That's why he never talks. He's just not a character.
All right. What?
He's not. Do you even ever see him in the game?
Except you see him on the box when you buy the game.
You see him on the box when you buy it. Do you ever see him when you play the game, though?
No, but you are. They treat you as if you, especially in Half-Life 2, they treat you as
like you're Gordon Freeman,
right? Exactly.
How is that any different? Do they say, "Hey Gordon, I got your favorite coffee here. It's vanilla latte." Or no, they say, "Hey."
Because if you're Duke Nukem, they would be like, "Oh, the savior's here! Oh my god!" Then they'd all bow to their knees and be like, "Oh my god, this fucking super buff roided out dude's here. He's gonna save the day." No, they're like, "Hey man, you're gonna need all the help you can get. All right, we've already planned out this for you. We planned out that for you. We've infiltrated this. You know what I'm saying? You're not running in there with rockets ablazing. You're a nerd guy with a suit that can kind of keep you alive in certain situations."
How do you know he's a nerd?
He's an engineer.
He never does anything or says anything.
He's an engineer at Black Mesa, dude. You know they had to do a background check and make sure he was just a nerd. That's it. You know that. It's kind of implied.
So we're the scientists, the bald ones.
Yeah, for sure, but they don't have muscles.
Okay. All right. All right, who do you got number two?
Let's go one for one, no?
We're doing one for one? All right. I don't have this in any specific order, but I went with Duke Nukem, not the new.
Oh, wow. How funny that it's exactly the guy that I brought up as the archetype for the common, like, this is the guy who's going to save
the world. I'll
tell you why, dude. Roided out.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because he started that. I'm not talking about Duke Nukem 2011. I'm talking about Duke Nukem Apogee Software 1990-something. You know, I'm talking about...
Oh, back when it was cool. Hipster.
Yeah, because this was... I don't know. You can argue this, but I want to feel...
It's falling apart, folks. You can hear him falling apart.
He's the one that started the whole tough guy. He always had like a quip or a line. You know, he kind of set that precedent.
Are you a roided out, badass, kick-ass motherfucker? No, we're nerds. We're gaming nerds. That's why Gordon Freeman...
I don't want to relate to this character. I want to enjoy the character from a third-person perspective, from my point of view. I'm not... I'm not I'm not projecting myself into him. You see what I'm saying?
I guess. I project myself into Morris. Point of view. Never mind.
I don't know. If you talk to anyone, I mean, it's classic PC gaming. And the one-liners back in the day, and this is hard for me to explain.
Those one-liners were great.
Yeah, it's hard to explain that to someone because that's all over every game now. And I feel like Duke Nukem started that shit.
Could you imagine hearing the words voice dialogue back in the day? There was no dialogue. There was one-liners, if that.
Yeah. People don't understand what it's like back in the 90s to play a game and to hear him say something or to be able to, like, throw money at a stripper and she shows you her tits. I mean, like, that was like, holy shit. And I mean, the graphics were horrible, but like you couldn't believe the game did that.
Why is he the best hero, dude? I'm still waiting.
I didn't say he was the best. In no specific order.
Oh, okay. In the top three.
Yeah. I like that style of gaming where the main character is funny. He's a guy, you know.
I'm giving you shit, but yeah, there's something to that when you're playing through, and the quips are really funny.
Hey, man, I loved Bulletstorm, and I know a lot of people won't back me up on that, but I fucking love that game.
I had a good time with it.
That game's on my replay list. Like that's one that I would replay.
I would say that I'd replay it too. But what was I going to say? On Duke Nukem Forever, probably not on my replay list. You know, I would probably play Half-Life 2 again. I would probably not play any of the Duke Nukems. I've actually tried to play one of the Duke Nukems again. And
like the old one, Duke Nukem 3D?
2000, I think it was.
2000?
Or it was like a reboot. Anyway, yeah, it was garbage.
They made a new version of Duke Nukem 3D. I replayed the first level, and I don't know. It doesn't hold up that well. All right, so who's next for you?
I'm going to have to go with Booker DeWitt.
Booker DeWitt.
So I know it's a relatively new game, and he's your anti-hero. You know, he has his problems and all. But ultimately, at the very core of Booker DeWitt is somebody who wants to do good. Even his Even his alternate universe version, Comstock, is trying to do good. They're both trying to do good in the way that they think they could do good the best. Mm-hmm. And what else is a hero but besides somebody who cannot help but do good? There's no version in any of the million of options there are for different realities where he's a villain. In all the realities that they show, he's a good guy. I mean, Comstock is a villain, but he's delusional. Mm-hmm. And he thinks he's doing a good thing, you know? So that's why.
Okay. And I would agree with that one, because Booker DeWitt is a character. He has a personality. He says things. He has opinions. He has defects. You know, they're different things based on which character or which universe he's in. But he's, pardon the pun, he's got more than one dimension to him. He is a good character. I
very
like
punny.
No more puns. No more puns on this podcast.
You know what? I wouldn't think I would pick up on most of them if you didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I try to preface them. You know, I don't like to just like hit people with a pun because that's always rough. All right, but yeah, I'll back you up on that one. Booker DeWitt, great character.
Cool.
All right, so let's see who I got here. I'm reaching way back for this one as well, and I don't know why. It's some of these have sentimental reasons too, but I went with my next choice with Leisure Suit Larry, and some people probably don't know who the hell that guy is, but Leisure Suit Larry back in the day was a guy in a point-and-click adventure game, and all you did in the game is try to get this guy laid. That's all you did, and I think we can all relate to that. I mean, it's a guy trying to get laid. You're taking cab rides, you're slumming around, you know, you're buying drinks at a bar, you're going to the casino, and
trying to get laid, sir? All I do is get laid.
Hey, at the end, he does. I don't know, spoiler alert, but Larry comes through at the end. And again, I bring this up because this was unheard of back in the day. Leisure Suit Larry goes back to the 80s. And I remember my first experience with this. Early on in the game, you run into a hooker, and
at a bar, right?
She's upstairs from the bar.
Yeah,
from that bar, and it's you have to type every command in because it's a text adventure with visual as well. And so I typed in, of course, like anyone would, fuck the hooker. Like, like of course you're going to type that. You just want to see, you know, like a gamer does, you test the boundaries. You see, like, what commands work and what doesn't. And fucking he hopped on the bed, and there was, like, a little, like, dust cloud. And
yeah, like some, a cat and dog fighting.
Yeah, yeah, and then there was noises.
Come flying out? Was there any come flying out?
I don't think so, but we're talking about pretty bad graphics, so right. I don't think they had
if there was any white pixels, I think that's what they were implying.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that, folks, because if you do sleep with that hooker before you buy the condom at the drugstore, then you get a venereal disease, which apparently kills you, like, less than a minute after your, fuck the hooker.
My first girlfriend's dad was a computer engineer. I went over to his house back in the 80s. And
you had a girlfriend in the 80s?
I think so.
How
right?
old are you, dude?
Yeah. I think so at the very end. Early 90s, very late, latest. I'm pretty old, dude. More than I'd like to admit. But she's like, you know, booted up this game. It's really funny. So I booted it up and I started playing. And then her dad came home. And I remember, like, specifically shutting it off because I was like, I shouldn't be playing this while he's here. You know, this is kind of like a very racy game. You
yeah.
know? And guess what? He's a nerd. And he's a hero. God damn it, he's a hero.
He is. He is what we all aspire to be. I remember playing way later down the line. They made a new Leisure Suit Larry game, Magna Cum Laude. It wasn't as good.
Is he really a hero, though? Honestly, he's a nerd trying to get laid. Is he a hero because he's gets laid
hero.
At the very end?
He's a protagonist. I think he's an acceptable candidate for this category.
Yeah. Okay, so my third and last one is, I gotta go with this. If anybody has saved my ass like a goddamn hero more than anybody else in all of video gamedom, it's the TF2 medic. I mean, you know, you play support a lot. So you've been my medic a million times.
You mean me. I'm your hero. That's what I'm saying. This is what we're getting at here.
You know what?
It's taking a sentimental turn.
I would say 2% of the times that I've had a medic, a pocket medic, it's been you, and you're a great medic, and I've got to give you that. But medic in general, like, you could be hurt, beat up, fucked up, and guess what? The medic has a indicator to tell you where his hurt buddies are, and he runs right over to you. And what makes him a hero, though, is, you know what? You're probably not going to get a lot of kills as a medic. You can, but you're not going to get a lot of kills. Whoever your assistant is going to get all the kills. So basically, you're helping the situation where your team and the person you're helping specifically can win. But through them winning, you win yourself. And it's very rare that maybe on a defensive team that lost, you'll see a medic at the top of the charts because he's trying to keep everybody together. But in general, winning teams don't have medics on the top. And, you know, that's a hero. If not, you know, he's sacrificing his own scores just to get his game. You know, he wants the team to win. Not just that, if you want to say physical hero, when he does his ultimate or his, man, I've been playing too many MOBAs.
Wow.
When he does his Uber and, you know, both people are invincible, but it doesn't matter. The sentry guns still push everybody back. What's he do? He stands in front of the between him and the target of the sentry gun, blocking all the bullets. I know he's invincible, but he's literally taking all the damage possible to the face so that whoever he's healing can take out the sentries. I mean, he's German, but he is my hero.
He's an unsung hero.
Yeah.
You got to give him credit because, he doesn't get a lot of points.
Yep. But, in general, he does, but not usually.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Not Thanks. Just because I play medic all the time, but...
We should play some again.
Yeah, we should.
Play some tonight, maybe.
All right. Yeah, I'm down. I'm still on vacation. All right, so this last one. I've been going with old characters, you know, 80s, 90s. I'm talking like old school stuff.
Yeah, have you seen our website?
Yeah, we're taking it back. But I'm going to go with something a little new for my last one here. And that is Jason Brody from Far Cry 3, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you why I like this guy as a hero. This is an example of a character who starts out as a scared party, you know, just like
a rich white guy.
A rich, privileged white guy who finds himself in a very shitty situation.
He knows no real adversity until this thing happened to him.
Yeah, and the game is witnessing his change. There's a serious character arc in this game. You don't see that in a lot of games. You have this, like, grizzled veteran, like, Marine at the beginning of the game. He goes through all the shit. At the end of the game, he's still that same person.
Yeah.
There's no change. There's no character
arc. I feel the same way with Lara Croft in the newest incarnation of her, where it's her first mission, and this is how she becomes a badass in all the other games. You know, there's a couple times, I've mentioned this before, but still, I've never been in a game where she had to amp herself up to do crazy fucking shit, like climb a tower. And the same thing with Brody, where he's like, oh, God, what's going on? You know, he's looking at his tattoos, and he's tripping out. His new tattoos are growing on him, and he's like, oh, I think I can do this. And then as his confidence grows and he's talking to his friends, he's like, I'm going to go do this. It's not like, I think I can do this, you know? He's like, I'm starting to feel invincible. And at that point, it gets a little douchey, but most white guys do. I think they wrote him very well.
He ends the game as a completely different character than when he started the game. And you watch and experience the whole thing. And that's great. That's how every game should be like that, where every single player experience.
You know, a lot of people talk about, oh, the ending sucked, or this ending sucked, or that ending sucked. But just like with most things, it's about the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
And the journey in that game, at least for the psyche of the hero, was transformative, you know? He went from...
It was a transformation.
Absolutely. And it was great.
Yeah. And then at the end of the game, when, you know, you have all these special powers and you're this completely different person, you know, even at the end of the game, you can run around the whole island and you can do all the other, like, little side objectives and kill animals and all that stuff. You know, you have free reign over it and you can actually use these abilities that you have, as opposed to a lot of games where you gain all these powers at the end for the final boss fight, and then it's over.
And it's one of these things where, you know, every once in a while something takes you out of the game, and I remember specifically when I'm, like, super Brody, and, you know, I can kill anybody and stuff, and I kill an animal, and I gut it, and he still says gross. I was like, come on, man, you've been kidding. There's about 500 animals we've killed. You can't, you know. I feel like I have to come up with it. I have to say this. In BioShock Infinite, there's a projector running when you go into the museum for the Natural History Museum or whatever, where you try to, when you start to figure out that the general that runs that the defense for him is the same general that you had back when you fought at Wounded Knee.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a projector running, and I ran in front of the projector or walked in front of it, and there was no shadow like on the wall. And I was like, I was enjoying this game so much until just a little thing just took me out of it, you know?
It's the little things, yeah.
It's the little things. I mean, how hard would it have been to program into the game? I'm going to say it's because the consoles couldn't handle it. That's kind of what I'm going to go with that.
We're going to blame that one on consoles. As I do with all my problems in life.
Global warming, whatever the fuck. All consoles.
Catastrophic.
Yeah, those things run way too hot, man.
All right, so that's our top three heroes. One of these days, we're going to have to do top three villains.
Yep.
I got a few good ones for that one, too.
We haven't planned that at all.
At all. All right, so let's move this into what we're playing. What we are playing. What am I playing? I'm playing a lot of stuff because I've been buying a lot of games and I feel obligated to play them. I did beat The Swapper. Great game. I saw a friend playing it the other day too. And I'm like the creepy guy on Steam. I see a friend playing a game and I'm like, start messaging him. I'm like, hey, it's a good game there. Yeah? Yeah? What do you got going on? You want to do a little co-op? Huh? You know, I'm always trying to like get a multiplayer experience going. You know? You know how it is.
Mine was very similar to you. I kind of I beat off 2A Swapper.
Okay.
I mentioned this last time, but it was pretty close to what you experienced.
And then she gave you an STD because she pirated a game. And
It's true.
The analogy
Everything
continues.
Goes back. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But, yeah, so this actually isn't a multiplayer experience. This is a single-player game. Very atmospheric. I talked a little bit about it on the last podcast. Very atmospheric. It's got that creepy, futuristic space vibe.
What did you think of the ending? Did it satisfy?
It was good.
But this goes highly recommended, right? By you.
The game?
The game in general.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a 5 or 6 hour experience. It's got kind of an indie feel to it. You know, the graphics aren't anything great. It's a 2D platformer. It's nothing amazing, but it is a great little game. And for $5, I'm totally satisfied with it. It's a puzzle game, too. It, you know what it reminds me of a little bit is Trine without the combat. It's kind of like that, maybe. Maybe that's not the best analogy. Maybe a 2D portal.
Portal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to think of.
Very, very similar. But
it's been suggested, I think they say that there's a lot of similarities between Portal and it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was awesome. I played a little bit more of Sonic the Racing Game. And fun game. And just like a fun game to play when you
Listen,
got some.
Listen, man, nobody listening is going to get it. Talk about all you want, but...
Hey, dude, I'm telling you, that is a legit racing game right there. Fuck this Need for Speed future, like a realistic, you know, test drive. No. What you need is Sonic Go-Kart Racing.
Fuck yeah, Go-Kart Racing is the best type of racing video game-wise, for sure.
And you know what they...
Oh, my God, do you think there'll ever be real-life go-kart racing, like... Where there's
no, we don't have the technology.
So awesome, dude.
Could you
imagine? Could you imagine somebody in like the Andretti family racing a go kart that had like a rocket on it? Oh my god! Oh, we got to start this league. Okay, edit this out. Yet another amazing idea.
You know what I like what they do with this game too is you aren't just driving on a track. There are times when the track changes to. Airborne and you're flying a plane and then it changes to water and you're driving a boat. So it changes a little bit, which is something a little new. Also, they take characters from different games. You can race as the demo or the spy from Team Fortress 2, or you can...
Really?
Yeah. You can race as Danica Patrick.
I wonder if you can do that on the console versions. Because the TF2 is on the console version as well, right?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking for something just to chill out and play, like, That's just a fun game, fun casual game. Also, I finally played a little bit of Surgeon Simulator, and that game is as difficult as a lot of people.
I know nothing about it. Break it down for me, buddy. I don't know anything about this game.
So you're used to WASD on the...
Who is it?
Yeah. Well, the way this does is...
It's like called Tiltards.
Yeah, exactly. So this switches it up on you. You place your hand on the keyboard, A is your pinky, W-E-R-T are your other fingers, and spacebar is your thumb.
Okay.
And when you press down any one of those buttons with those fingers, then the finger on the hand on the screen goes down.
Finger.
Yeah, so if you press all those down, you're like grabbing.
Twisting.
Yeah, exactly. And you can control the arm, you can rotate it, you can move the wrist back and forth.
Is that with the mouse that you're moving the rotation of it?
Yeah.
So you only have one hand while you're doing these surgeries?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're doing one-handed surgery.
Wow.
And you have to do operations such as a heart transplant, kidney transplant, some brain surgery.
Dude, if I don't make it through tonight for whatever reason, make sure you get me a two-handed surgeon.
Yeah.
Please. you're scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
And the thing is, like you can bash into this patient's rib cage and crush all his ribs and throw them out and pull out.
Is it gross? Is it graphic?
It's fairly graphic. There's blood and you see the organs. And you rip all these organs out and then you cut the heart out, toss it away, and then you throw the new heart in there, and then it's like mission complete. Like, oh, yeah, don't worry about the rest of that. You got the heart.
The nurses will take care of that.
Yeah.
The organ nurses.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of funny. But it was a fun fun game.
Wait, you say was as in you beat it?
No.
Oh.
No. I didn't.
You're not going to go back.
It was a fun novelty. I don't know about playing this.
What'd you pay for it, and was it worth the novelty?
$250, and yes, it was.
Cool. Yeah,
I might come back and play with it a little bit more. I mean, it's kind of gimmicky.
Your old age, maybe.
I don't know.
You know, if you had a power glove, it might have really worked out well.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to do that, or maybe with like a Wii remote.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen those remotes that come out for the Oculus Rift now? Well, maybe they're not for the Oculus Rift, but geez, I wish I could remember the name. They look exactly like the left hand that you use for the Wii remote. It's like a trigger that you hold that has a thumb button, right? So the PC version also has tracks pitch and yaw and all of that. So if you're holding two of these and your hands are moving, your hands on the screen are moving. So when you use it with the Oculus Rift, like say you're playing Half-Life 2, you're swinging your right hand and you're actually swinging the crowbar at the same rate and exactly like you would. It's really weird. I think these things are going to come up big time when the Oculus Rift comes out.
I don't know. Again, sounds very gimmicky.
I don't think you understand the impact the Oculus Rift is going to have on gaming, man. It's a game changer. Absolutely. This is as big as computer chairs. This is big. Big, big, big.
So you're saying everybody's going to have an Oculus Rift?
Eventually, yeah. First, it's going to be early adopters. Like, okay, so I have a buddy, right? And he doesn't play PC games at all. He has a PS2. He never boots it up, ever. He listened to our podcast because I asked him to. But then
I
told him to. That's a download right there. You don't judge me, sir.
That's how we get our listeners.
But he had never heard of the Oculus Rift in detail. So he went and looked it up, and he started looking it out. And he called me the other day, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to buy it. I was like, no. Wait for the consumer model. This is a developer's model. You don't want it. There's so much intricacy in trying to get it to work that you're going to get lost. Plus, he has a shitty PC. He's got plenty of money, but he has a shitty. Okay. He doesn't use a PC. So I was like, you know, wait till the good one comes out. I'll split it with you. You can come play it on my PC or whatever. But what it comes down to is, you're talking about somebody who does not play PC gaming that was literally going to spend $300 just to get the developer's model for this shit. This is amazing. And I was like, and he said, no, I'm not going to split it with you because I want it at my house. I said, how often are you going to? He's like, I'm going to use it all day. That's what he said. So, you know, it's going to bring new people in. Think about that, dude. Non-PC gamers are going to move over to PC. Console players are going to come over to the PC. That's how big this is. And you look skeptical.
People aren't a big fan of having to put shit on their face while they play a game. I'm just saying.
I guess. you're making unprecedented remarks here.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I would buy one of those just to play around with it and just see what it can do. But I don't know.
Stuff ends up on my girlfriend's face when we're playing games.
There it is. I was waiting for that. See, that's why I paused right there. I was like, all right, there's a joke coming.
But I crack myself up, folks. Crack myself up.
We need a studio audience that just laughs at shitty jokes.
Or at least a button.
Yeah, next week is the sound panel. And then we will sound like the radio. But I think the Oculus Rift, maybe. But handheld devices, that's been done before, and people don't like that. People don't want to stand up and dance around and wave their arms around the air.
Here's the thing, though, man. You're playing the Oculus, right? That's a given, right? People, PC gamers, are they going to play the Oculus? Yes or no?
Sure, some of them. Not all of them.
The majority, I would say. If you can afford it, you're going to buy it.
There's a lot of games that don't really serve a purpose with the Oculus. League of Legends. You're going to use the Oculus Rift with League of Legends.
Yeah. I'm going to play every game, dude. Barbie Dreamhouse 2, right? Imagine just being surrounded by a world of dresses and accessories, man.
Yeah.
Just look around that thing and you're like, oh, man, I could have any one of these.
Virtual Barbie. You got to look good for Ken. Come on.
It's true.
Come on. All right. Anyway, we're talking about what we're playing. Let's do it. Sorry, Oculus Rift.
I've been obsessed with Hearthstone. I'm sorry to keep bringing it up, guys, but it is a affordable. That's maybe the best. I'm going to be honest with everybody here. If Magic the Gathering was cheaper, I wouldn't have this podcast because that's all I would play. It is literally the best game I have ever played in my entire life. Doesn't matter, through all the games, over EverQuest, over Street Fighter, over Skyrim, take a shot. It's this game. It's the strategy of chess. It's collectability of baseball cards. It's which, by the way, even if you take the money out of it, there's excitement in opening up a new pack. What am I going to get? Am I going to get that $20 rare, you know? There's, you know, the PvP element. You're going up against other people only. You can only get better from playing other people. It is the greatest game I ever played. That being said, playing a draft in Magic the Gathering is $16. You have to buy three packs. Then you have to buy two tickets. I've talked about this before, but still, it's ridiculous. To play the equivalent in Hearthstone is $2. For $2, the problem is you don't keep the cards. But even if you win one game in the arena, you get a pack at least. You know, today was the first time I won three games in one arena, which is pretty good for me. And usually I win one. I've never gone one where it's three losses straight, but even with one win, you get a pack and you get some gold, and gold you can use to get into another arena. So I said it earlier, I think I spent about $10 total since I started playing Hearthstone, and I've probably netted four free arenas out of that. And you know, I could practice and get way better at Hearthstone before I start spending money, but I'm just having a great time, and I get about 45 minutes of enjoyment out of $2. That's better than a movie. Way better than a movie. You know?
Yeah, no, I would agree. Now, since you're playing a lot more, I've been playing a little bit of Hearthstone too. Not as much as you. I got a buddy of mine who's playing a lot of it as well. And, you know, I talked to him about it, but I'm really trying to get a feel for the balance in the game. Do you feel like there are classes that are better than others?
You know, I think the priest is very strong. Now that they did he can steal a minion. You know, Mind Control, I think it's called, but it's 10 mana. And I'm thinking about taking it out of my deck, because 10 mana is, that's the top, that's the maximum. So you're talking about late game. My entire deck is geared to late game, mm-hmm. which is good for a priest. Oh, I'm a priest main. That's the one I play the most. Because it's the best. I think it is. You know, he can heal himself, which means that you can usually get to late game. And if you dominate that late game, then you're going to win, right? And there's few decks that can just stomp out a priest right away. So a priest will usually, out of a war of attrition, just have more tools at the end of the game. So I think maybe the priest is probably the best class in the game. But again, I don't want to stress, you know, I'm undefeated against rogues. I've beat about 20 rogues in a row with even my shitty decks that I haven't even put together. I did the, like, recommended, and rogues just go down every time. So I think rogues must be at the bottom of the list. But
what about hunters? I kind of feel like they're down there too.
Really? I think they're I think it's the easiest class, and I think it's one of those classes where it's based on your draw. I know they're all based on your draw, mm-hmm. but specifically, Druid is number one. If you get your mana boosting abilities early with the Druid, you're going to win. Period. You're going to have 8 mana when your opponent has 4. And you're just going to be dropping these gigantic beasts down. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
So, it's irregardless of what hand I get with the Druid, I throw it all away to get the mana boosting abilities.
Yeah.
So that's where I told you that I think that the depth in this game comes. It comes from all the different heroes and how they interact with each other. I'm starting to learn, you know, I shouldn't have spent all that money before learning these intricacies and these how they intermingle, because now I'm starting to learn that you need to burn a rogue down right away, because all he does is attack your hero directly, and he's not very good at taking out creatures. So, but his defense is shit. So you could just go, if you go right for him, you can take him out almost every time. Same thing with warlocks. Warlocks hurt themselves a lot. So mm-hmm. if you attack them directly, you're going to win. Things like, I would say, shaman. Shaman, you have to take out their creatures, because they usually work on having a lot of creatures. Most of the things are all about, like, all their totems and stuff. So, so I'm starting to learn these things. Again, I shouldn't have spent money before I knew these things. But you know what? I'm having fun learning, so fuck it.
Yeah, you got to spend some time to learn the nuances of the game. I feel like I'm about to give up on the paladin, though. I mean, I always roll pally, but in this case, I think I got to jump ship and get on board with something else, because it's not working out. I'd say I lose 60% of my games with the paladin.
Did you ever think it's because you're dumb?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, can we play each other? Do you know?
I don't think so. I'm trying to figure that out.
Well, there's a little thing in the bottom left-hand corner that says how many of your friends are on. But I have zero friends because I just haven't added you or Chad or anything. So I think maybe if I added you,
or maybe because you have zero friends because you make hurtful comments. But no, I thought we had talked about this before, and you said that they were going to implement that later. Like, is
Chad said that. Again?
Yeah. Oh, Chad said that.
So I think that's what they what that thing in the bottom left is. I imagine if you have friends, you can probably play them. It probably doesn't count towards any of your quests or anything, though.
Yeah, because all the Blizzard games, it has the same friends list. So, yeah, it's usually your username and then a hashtag and a number, and that is...
That doesn't make any sense, though, because I have friends.
I don't know. See, I don't see mine either, but I know when I play Diablo, I see my World of Warcraft friend, so I don't know.
Maybe because it's in beta.
Yeah, you have to add the accounts. Exactly. I think they just haven't added that feature yet, but hopefully soon.
We have friends, folks.
Lots of friends.
We love you. Keep listening.
All right, let's wrap this up. So that's going to do it for this edition of Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. Thanks for listening. You can check us out on our website, dlgaming.net. You can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net.
Easy.
Easy stuff. All right.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Skyrim.
Take a shot.